Amen. Well, if you would open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. I know it's 4 days before Christmas, but I was thinking about a message just to preach, and I thought about just a lot of things about just the story of Christmas, different reasons for the reason why Jesus came. And this passage came to my mind as one of the best pictures of the real reason why Jesus Christ came to this earth, and that was to die for the sins of the entire world and for the sins of everyone in this room. So it's what the Lord put on my heart. I hope something's a blessing to you. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11, and then we will pray and get started. So verse 1 says in Genesis chapter 22, "And it came to pass that after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave to the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went into the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called out of heaven, and Abraham, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and looked, and behold him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son." Let's pray and we'll get started. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word, Lord. I pray that the things that are said will be done to your honor and glory, Lord. I pray that something that is said will be a blessing to each one in here. And I pray that we would really understand what the true purpose of Christmas is, and it's to worship the fact that you came to this earth to die for each and every one of us in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. So the story of Christmas, Jesus came and was born in a manger, lived a perfect sinless life for 33 years, and then was offered as a sacrifice for all mankind. And I come to this story, and there are just so many parallels between the story of Abraham and Isaac and the story of Jesus and God, his Father. And you look in Matthew chapter 1, when the angel came to Mary, he said that the reason Jesus was going to come was to save the people from their sins. And the purpose of a sacrifice in the Old Testament was to be offered for the sins of the people. That's why Abraham, the Israelites, they offered sacrifices throughout the Old Testament. The difference is God comes to Abraham in this story and asks a different request of him. He asks for his son, Isaac, for the offering. And throughout this whole story, I find it interesting that Abraham never questioned. There's never any hesitancy. There's never ever any doubt. There's never any why, God. You don't see any of that. I'm sure he had his doubts. I'm sure he thought these things in his mind. But there's never a moment of hesitancy. And that's the first point I want to get into, is the willingness of Abraham and Isaac to go and to sacrifice. Now, many scholars believe that around this time, Isaac would have been between 20 and 25 years old, which would make Abraham between 100 and 125 years old. The difference in their ages would mean that if Isaac really wanted to, he probably could have resisted at any time Abraham's offer for him to get on the offering and for him to tie him to the altar. But he didn't. You read the story, he gets on the altar, he gets tied up, and he was literally going to allow his dad to slay him because God had told him to. I think of the faith that it took for that step. All the way back into the first mentions of Abraham, it took everything he did, took faith. It took steps of faith. And our salvation is so much like that. From the moment God said, I want you to leave everything you know, and I want you to go somewhere, but I'm not going to tell you where until you get there. And he went. And then, in faith, God said, wait, I'm going to provide that son for you. And Abraham waited, and in faith, and God, he did make the mistake, and he did have Ishmael with Hagar, but then eventually God provided that son for him, Isaac, who he said would be the promised one that would bring the seed of Abraham to prosper for forever and ever. Amen. And then 20 to 25 years later, he says, oh, by the way, I want you to sacrifice Isaac. And just in the ordinary sense of it, you think, okay, Abraham has every right to question because God told him he would be the promised seed. He would be the one that would extend his seed throughout the generations. And Isaac and Abraham never, it says he rose up early in the morning. He didn't wait. He didn't say, you know, hesitate till mid-hour. He did it right away, did it immediately, as soon as he could. And never hesitated, never stopped. It was immediate. It was absolutely no questions asked. And then the other person that's not mentioned in the story, but I also think wouldn't have questioned, otherwise it might have been mentioned here, is Sarah. Now, obviously, I'm not a woman. I would not understand this. I don't have any kids. I'm not married. So I wouldn't understand what it would be like to ask of you to offer your firstborn son. But many of you women in here would, what would you think when Abraham came to you and said, oh, I need to take Isaac. We're going to go on a trip. Well, what's this trip for? Well, God told me to offer him as a sacrifice on an altar. He's going to die. And Sarah never asked any questions. She just basically said, okay. It's never mentioned. I mean, I can't imagine Abraham snuck away at the dark of night to take Isaac away. would not have gone well. But he went, and it was complete obedience. And the next, and like I said, I stressed on it earlier, was it was a willing sacrifice. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and was ready to take his son's life. And at that moment, God said, hold up, Abraham, wait. Now imagine if Abraham hadn't been listening. What would have happened? He would have killed his son, not God's will. But at that moment, it said he stretched forth his hand, so I have to imagine he had a knife or something to slay his son with, and he was ready to do it, and at that moment, God called Abraham, Abraham. And he stopped and said, God, I'm here. So that obedience and that listening to God again comes in. He listened to God. He rose up early. He was listening to God throughout the entire story. He listened to God and went to the right mountain, because if he wasn't at that mountain, the ram wouldn't have been there. Amen. The sacrifice wouldn't have been there for him if he hadn't gone to the right mountain that God had told him about. But it was an immediate obedience. It was willingness on the part of Isaac and on the part of Abraham. I think of many people that sacrifice so much for the cause of Christ, that sacrifice so much to see people saved, to do what God told them to do. I think of men like Hudson Taylor, who went to China when people told him not to go there. His health was a major problem throughout his entire life. He was very, very, very small, very had many health issues, but still went and still started the China Inland Mission and still did so many things for God, still won many Chinese people to the Lord in spite of all the protests. And I think in my life and in the life of everyone here, what are we willing to sacrifice? If God were to say, I want you to give up this, would you be willing to do it? For those of us that are my age or people that are younger, if God called you to a mission field, if God called you halfway around the world, would you be willing to go? Parents, if your child was called, would you be willing to go? Would you be willing to let them go and sacrifice time with them, time with your grandkids, possibly never seeing them again, to let them serve the Lord with their life? Abraham and Isaac, they were willing to give up everything. Isaac was willing to lay his life down because he knew that his dad was doing what God told him to do. And Abraham was willing to slay his son because he knew that that was what God wanted. I think of that obedience and that sacrifice. I also think, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, with the faith of Abraham. He's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 for leaving Ur, but also the faith in this story. He trusted God enough. He remember, when they get to the mountain, the men come to him and say, He says, you stay here. We're going to go and worship, and we're coming back. He knew what he was told to do. So at some point, he believed in his heart that although he was supposed to slay his son, whether or not his son would have been slain there, he would have somehow been alive enough to walk down that mountain and come back. I think about that, and I'm like, what unbelievable faith it took. And this is literally just unbelievable sacrifice, unbelievable faith on the part of Abraham, and he just believed. But what if this happens? He was just faith, and at its simplest form, it was just a belief that God would come through. Amen. In the end, no matter what happened. And I just, going back to the story back at the beginning with Ur, what if Abraham hadn't left when God told him to? I know for a fact God would have brought the promised seed through maybe somebody else, but it wouldn't have been him. He would have found somebody else who was willing to listen to him. But Abraham, who was obviously, based on the story later as it moves along, a very wealthy man, left his entire family at a time when people did not travel far away from home because it was extremely difficult to travel, and walked hundreds of miles to go to the land of Canaan like God told him to. Just simple faith, and step by step, God was working his faith to a greater level because he knew that eventually God was going to ask him, I need you to offer your son, and you need to be willing to 100% do it, no questions asked. And step by step, God built his faith. He had times along the way, like I mentioned with Hagar, when he said, oh, maybe the seed's through her. He even asked God one time, is it through my servant Eliezer? He said, no, it's going to be through you. There was several times. How about the time he went down to Egypt? But he still, when God asked him to, he had moments where he failed. We all do. Everyone's got moments where they fail. But he still, in this instance, when God asked him to go, he just went. And in faith, believed. And I think in relation to the story of salvation and why did Christ come to this earth, he came to save. But in order to accept that gift, it starts with simple faith. Amen. It doesn't take much.
That's right.
The Bible says, calls it a faith of a child.
Amen.
It's all you have to do is just believe it.
Amen.
The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
And then whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's just simple faith. Abraham believed. The question is, are we able to have that kind of faith? Now, God may not ask you to literally sacrifice your kid, but I asked it before. If God was to call your child to a country where missionaries are not allowed, where they will get killed if they go there, and they are found, would you be willing to let them go? If, like I said, once again, teenagers, young adults, if God were to call you there, would you be willing to go? I my freshman year of college, it's awesome. I fully believe that God's called me to preach, and I know Pastor says that he has had times where he felt his heart going towards the mission field, and that started to happen with me in my freshman year at missions conference at Bible College, and I wasn't exactly sure. I just kind of felt like that's where it might be. It was awesome, but felt like that's where God might be calling me. I just wasn't sure, but I kind of had this own little battle inside of myself where I was just like, I don't know if that's what I should do. I don't know what I should do, and it was almost as if God was just saying, you know, I just want you to surrender to it. And after months and months of going back and forth with this, I struggled with it. Every time a message was preached about missions, every time a missionary visited, whatever it was, I would be convicted about it. And about 6 months later, there's a conference there called the Church Planting Conference. They have different church planters come, different pastors come and preach and talk about their heart for church planting and just instructing, you know, a lot of the times the guys' sessions on how, what you should do when you're starting a church, different things like that. And God once again started to convict my heart, not for church planting, but for missions. And I was like, I don't know. And it was almost as if God said, are you willing just to give me everything? You said you were. You've said you were many times, but are you willing to do it? And it was at that point that I just kind of, I said, Lord, if you want me to go, that's fine, I'll go. And it was almost as if God just told me, it was like, well, okay, you're going to preach. I just wanted to make sure you were willing.
Amen.
And that's just kind of it was just the way it was for me. I fully believe God's call in my life was to be a pastor, but he was trying to make sure I was willing to do whatever. And it took great faith. I think of the man William Borden. Many of you heard his story before. He was a young man, very wealthy, very well-to-do, had a wealthy business he could have taken over if he had gone to college and just gotten his business degree. His parents were going to, it was in his inheritance. But he chose instead to follow, he chose instead to go to the mission field and literally gave his life before he even got there, died of tuberculosis at age 25. When many people thought it was a waste, he had in his Bible written three phrases: no reserves, no retreats, and no regrets. Because there isn't any when you take that step of faith and you give God everything, like Abraham did in this story.
Amen.
So the first step was there was complete willingness. The second step was the faith. And then the third part of the story, I think of the substitute that God offered. And this is really where it gets down to the crux of it. You get to the end and it says, "And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called out unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son." This is really where the parallel, it's just, when you think about it, is incredible. Abraham was going to offer his only son as a sacrifice because God told him to. You look at that right there, obviously the first thing that comes to mind is God offering his son for our sins, Jesus Christ. But then on top of that, when he goes to slay his son, God says, "No, here's a substitute for your son." And I think about in another parallel to this story of how we were supposed to be the ones that died. We were the ones supposed to be the ones that were sinful. We were supposed to be the ones that were killed. But God, in his mercy, offered his son in our stead and died for us on the cross so that we wouldn't have to. And this just makes it so unbelievably real. And now fast forward 2,000 years to the cross. I think of this story just a couple years ago. I saw a guy preach a message on it. There's the story of Jesus. He's in Pilate's hall 2,000 years ago. And Pilate asks them what they wanted. They want him crucified. They yell at, "Crucify him." There's a riot breaking out. Now I want you to picture you're there. And they bring out two prisoners. You have no idea who the first guy is, but he's notoriously a guy that was a thief, a robber, a murderer, a wicked, vile man. And then they bring out a second person. Someone who's done nothing wrong, should not even be there, but has been beaten to the point you can't even recognize who he is. And Pilate asks, "Who do you want to be freed, and who do you want to be killed?" And those men at that time cried they wanted Jesus killed and they wanted Barabbas freed. But think about it. Once again, like I said, the parallels. The substitute, once again, shown right in that story, how Jesus Christ took the place where Barabbas should have been. Never mentioned again, only mentioned once in the Bible, in the story. But Jesus took his place on that cross 2,000 years ago. And in that same picture, he's taken our place. And this story it lays it out so beautifully. And you just, I think about it. You imagine the rejoicing when they came back. Every year on that day, imagine Abraham and Isaac replaying the story over and over and over again in their minds. "Hey, do you remember that time when God told me to go and to take your life, but God provided that substitute?" And he must have realized that God was going to bring a seed to save the world. And he must have been given the parallels over and over again, how God was going to offer a sacrifice, how the lamb was a representation of that. And that picture all came together for him. And every year they must have replayed it over and over again, reminding them of the time when God would send his son to take away our sins. And as we come to the Christmas season, I think, you know, what have we done to tell others about this story? What have we done to share this with others? I think about how people run around like crazy. If you go to a shopping mall, if you go through town once a day, I'm sure it takes like 30 minutes to get through because people are all over the place trying to get gifts, trying to celebrate Christmas, as they would like to say. But they don't. I think Pastor mentioned it. You can't truly celebrate Christmas until you realize what the purpose of all those gifts and all the purpose of that is to represent what Christ did for us when He gave Himself for us. That's the whole reason Christmas is celebrated. That's the whole reason that we have this season, is so that Jesus Christ can be worshipped, not just because He came to a manger. I think of the kids' play. Many of you were here a couple weeks ago when they had that play. You know, Jesus Christ came, but why is it so important? That was literally the question. Why is it so important? It's not just that He came to be born. It's that why He was born. He was born so He could live 33 years, fulfill the whole law, be tempted but not sin, and then die for us. And until you realize the fullness of that moment when Jesus was born, you can't truly celebrate Christmas. And that's why I brought it up. If you're not sure you're saved, you can't truly celebrate Christmas because you don't know what it's about. You don't have any joy in it. I think my dad said one time that this is like the most miserable time of the year for like half of the world because of the debt that comes with it, the troubles that come with it. But there wouldn't be any of that if they really knew what Christmas was about. And I think as this story lays it out, you know, you cannot truly understand the gift until you've experienced it yourself. I could tell you all day about something I was given like 10 years ago for a gift, but you wouldn't understand how much fun or how great that gift was or how awesome that gift was until you got it yourself. And so in closing, as we come to this point, let's truly worship Christ this Christmas. And not just in church on Sunday, let's remember all that He's done for us. Christmas, Easter, all of that comes together at the moment Jesus was born, because without the birth, there's no resurrection. And as we come to Christmas this year, and as we worship Christ this Saturday, this Sunday in church, let's remember why we do it. Let's not just go through the motions like we do every week. Let's truly remember Jesus Christ this Christmas. And it will make Christmas 10 times better. It won't just be about the things here. It'll be about remembering that day you got saved, remembering the day that loved one you prayed for years got saved, remembering that moment that person you thought would never get saved in your life got saved. And it will give you, it brings a whole new level of joy to Christmas when realizing it's not just about the birth, it's about the life He lived after that birth and about the death that He suffered so each and every one of us could have freedom. Amen. In Christ. Let's pray, and then we're going to take some prayer requests this evening. Dear Lord, I just thank You for this day. I thank You for just Your gift, Your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank You so much for everything You've done, everything You've given, and I pray that this Christmas we would give back to You the glory, the honor, the worship that You deserve. And I pray that as we go to bed this Saturday night and we wake up and it's Christmas morning, that we would truly remember the reason that You were born. In Jesus' name, amen.